Chapter 19. Charles Paulson's private offices were in Burbank, off the studio lot, in a building that housed three other production companies, two agencies, a tech startup, and a nonprofit dedicated to fighting thrush. Paulson's offices filled the third floor. The group took the elevator. "I shouldn't have eaten that last burrito," Hester said as they entered the elevator, a pained look on his face. "I told you not to," Hansen said. "You also said that the 21st century had food safety laws," Hester said. "I don't think food safety laws are going to protect you from a third carnitas burrito," Hansen said. "That's not about food safety. It's about pork fat overload." "I need a bathroom," Hester said. "Can this wait?" Dahl said to Hester. The elevator reached the third floor. "This is kind of an important meeting." "If I don't find a bathroom, you're not going to want me at the meeting," Hester said, because what would happen would be grim. The elevator doors opened, and the five of them stepped off. Down the hallway to the right was a sign for the men's bathroom. Hester made his way toward it, quickly but stiffly, and disappeared through its door. "How long do you think this is going to take?" Duval asked Dahl. "Our meeting is in about a minute." "Have you ever had a carnitas incident?" Dahl asked Duval. "No," Duval said, "and from the looks of it, I should be glad." "He'll probably be in there a while," Dahl said. "We can't wait," Kerensky said. "No," Dahl said. "You guys go ahead," Hansen said. "I'll stay and make sure Hester's all right. We'll wait for you in the office lobby when he's done." "You sure?" Dahl asked. "I'm sure," Hansen said. "Hester and I were just going to be spectators in the meeting anyway. We can wait in the lobby just as easily and read magazines. It's always fun to catch up on 350-year-old gossip." Dahl smiled at this. "All right," he said. "Thanks, Jimmy." "If Hester's intestines explode, you let us know," Duval said. "You'll be the first," Hansen said, and headed toward the bathroom. The receptionist at Paulson Productions smiled warmly at Kerensky as he, Dahl, and Duval entered the office lobby. "Hello, Mark," she said. "Good to see you again." Kerensky said. "We're here to see Mr. Paulson," Dahl said, stepping into Kerensky's moment of awkwardness. "We have an appointment," Mark set it up. "Yes, of course," the receptionist said, glancing at her computer screen. "Mr. Dahl, is it?" "That's me," Dahl said. "Have a seat over there, and I'll let him know you're here," she said, smiling at Kerensky again before picking up her handset to call Paulson. "I think she's flirting with you," Duval said to Kerensky. "She thought she was flirting with Mark," Kerensky pointed out. "Maybe there's a history there," Duval said. "Stop it," Kerensky said. "Just trying to help you rebound after the breakup," Duval said. "Mr. Dahl, Mark, ma'am," the receptionist said. "Mr. Paulson will see you now. Follow me, please." She led them down the corridor to a large office, in which sat Paulson behind a large desk. Paulson looked at Kerensky severely. "I'm supposed to be talking to these people of yours, not you," he said. "You're supposed to be at work." "I am at work," Kerensky said. "This is not work," Paulson said. "Your work is at the studio, on the set. If you're not there, we're not shooting. If we're not shooting, you're wasting production time and money. The studio and the Corwin are already riding me because we're behind on production this year. You're not helping." "Mr. Paulson," Dahl said, "perhaps you should call your show and see if Mark Corey is there." Paulson fixed on Dahl, seeing him for the first time. "You look vaguely familiar. Who are you?" "I'm Andrew Dahl," he said, sitting on one of the chairs in front of the desk, and then motioned to Duval, who sat on the other. "This is Maya Duval. We work on Intrepid." "Then you should be on set as well," Paulson said. "Mr. Paulson," Dahl repeated, "you should really call your show and see if Mark Corey is there." Paulson pointed at Kerensky. "He's right there," he said. "No, he's not," Dahl said. "That's why we're here to talk to you." Paulson's eyes narrowed. "You people are wasting my time," he said. "Jesus," Kerensky said, exasperated. "Will you just call the damn set? Mark's there." Paulson paused to stare at Kerensky for a moment and then picked up his desk phone and punched a button. "Yeah, hi, Judy," he said. "You on the set?" "Yeah, okay. Tell me if you see Mark Corey there." He paused and then looked at Kerensky again. "Okay. How long has he been there?" "Okay. He been acting weird today, out of character?" "Yeah. Okay. No, I don't need to speak to him. Thanks, Judy." He hung up. "That was my showrunner, Judy Melendez," Paulson said. "She says Mark's been on set since the 6:30 makeup call." "Thank you," Kerensky said. "All right, I'll bite," Paulson said to Kerensky. "Who the hell are you? Mark obviously knows you, or he wouldn't have set up this meeting. You could be his identical twin, but I know he doesn't have any brothers. So, what, are you his cousin? Do you want to be on the show? Is this what this is about?" Do you put family members on the show? Dahl asked. We don't go out of our way to advertise it, but sure, Paulson said. A season ago, I gave my uncle a part. He was about to lose his SAG insurance, so I put him in for the part of an admiral who tried to have Abernathy court-martialed. I also put in a small role for my son. He stopped speaking abruptly. We heard about your son, Dahl said. We're very sorry. Thank you, Paulson said, and paused again. His demeanor had transformed from aggressive producer to something more tired and small. Sorry, he said after a moment. It's been difficult. I can't imagine, Dahl said. Be glad that you can't, Paulson said, and reached over on his desk for a picture frame, looked at it, and held it in his hand. Stupid kid. I told him to be careful handling the bike in the rain. He turned the frame briefly, showing a picture of him and a younger man, dressed in motorcycle leathers, smiling at the camera. He never did listen to me, he said. Is that your son? Duval asked, reaching out for the frame. Yes, Paulson said, handing over the picture. Matthew. He had just gotten his master's in anthropology when he tells me he wants to try being an actor. I said to him, if you wanted to be an actor, why did I just pay for you to get a master's in anthropology? But I put him on the show. He was an extra on a couple of episodes before. Well, Andy, Duval said, handing the picture to Dahl. He stared at it. Kerensky came over and looked at the picture Dahl was holding. You have got to be kidding me, he said. What? Paulson said, looking at the three of them. Do you know him? Do you know Matthew? All three of them looked at Paulson. Matthew! Screamed a woman's voice from out of the room and down the hall. Oh, shit, Duval said, and launched herself out of her chair and out of the room. Dahl and Kerensky followed. In the lobby, the receptionist had attached herself to Hester, sobbing in joy. Hester stood there, wearing a receptionist, deeply confused. Hansen saw his three crewmates and came over to them. We walked into the lobby, he said. That's all we did. We walked into the lobby, and she screams a name, and then almost leaps over her desk to get at Hester. What's going on? I think we found the actor who plays Hester, Dahl said. Okay, Hansen said. Who is he? Matthew? Paulson said from the hall. He had followed his three guests out of the room to find out what was going on. Matthew? Matthew! He rushed to Hester, hugged him furiously, and started kissing him on the cheek. He's Charles Paulson's kid, Duval said to Hansen. The one who's in a coma? Hansen said. That's the one, Dahl said. Oh, wow, Hansen said. Wow. All three of them looked at Hester, who whispered, Help me. Someone's going to have to tell them who Hester really is, Kerensky said. He, Hansen, and Duval all looked at Dahl. Dahl sighed and moved toward Hester. Are you all right? Dahl asked Hester. They were in a private hospital room in which Matthew Paulson lay on a bed, tubes keeping him alive. Hester was staring at his comatose double. I'm better off than he is, Hester said. Hester, Dahl said, and looked out the doorway where he was standing to see if Charles Paulson was close enough in the hall to have heard Hester's comment. He wasn't. He was in the waiting area with Duval, Hansen, and Kerensky. Matthew Paulson could only have two visitors at a time. Sorry, Hester said. I didn't mean it to be an asshole. It's just... Well, now it all makes sense, doesn't it? What do you mean? Dahl asked. About me, Hester said. You and Duval and Hansen and Finn are all interesting because you had to have interesting backstories so you could all get killed off in a contextual way. Finn getting killed by someone he knew, right? You about to be killed when you go back to 4chan, but I didn't have anything unusual about me. I'm just some guy from Des Moines who had a B-minus average in high school who joined the W fleet to see some of the universe before he came back home and stayed. Before I came on the Intrepid, I was just another sarcastic loner. And now that makes sense, because I was never meant to do anything special, was I? I really was an extra. A placeholder character who Paulson could pour his kid into until his kid got bored with playing actor and went back to school to get a doctorate. Even the one thing I can do, pilot a shuttle, is just something that got stuck in because the show needed someone in that seat, and why not give it to the producer's kid? Make him feel special. I don't think it's like that, Dahl said. It's exactly like that, Hester said. I'm meant to fill a spot, and that's it. That's not true at all, Dahl said. No? Hester looked up at Dahl. What's my first name? What? Dahl asked. What's my first name? Hester repeated. You're Andy Dahl. Maya Duvall, Jimmy Hansen, Anatoly Kerensky, for Christ's sake. What's my first name, Andy? You don't know, do you? You have a first name, Dahl said. I could look on my phone and find it. But you don't know it, Hester said. You never used it. You never call me by it. We're friends, and you don't even know my full name. I'm sorry, Dahl said. I just never thought about calling you anything other than Hester. My point exactly, Hester said. If even my friends never think about what my first name might be, that points out my role in the universe pretty precisely, doesn't it? He went back to looking at Matthew Paulson in his coma. So what is your first name? Dahl finally asked. It's Jasper, Hester said. Jasper, Dahl said. Family name, Hester said. Jasper Allen Hester. Do you want me to call you Jasper from now on? Dahl asked. Fuck no, Hester said. Who wants to be called Jasper? It's a ridiculous fucking name. Dahl tried to stifle a laugh and failed. Hester smiled at this. I'll keep calling you Hester, Dahl said. But I want you to know that inside, I'll be saying Jasper. If it makes you happy, Hester said. Jasper, 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 Dahl said. All right, Hester said. Enough. I'd hate to kill you in a hospital. They returned their attention to Matthew Paulson. Poor kid, Hester said. He's your age, Duvall said. Yeah, but I'm likely to outlive him, Hester said. There's a change for one of us. I suppose it is, Dahl said. That's the problem with living in the 21st century, Hester said. In our world, if he got in the same accident, we could fix him. I mean, hell, Andy, think of all the horrible things that happened to you and you survived. I survived because it wasn't time for me to die yet, Dahl said. It's like Kerensky and his amazing powers of recovery. It's all thanks to the narrative. Does it matter why? Hester said. I mean, really, Andy, if you're just about dead and you survive and are healed by entirely fictional means, do you really give a shit? No, because you're not dead. The narrative knocks us off when it's convenient, but it's not all bad. You were just talking about how it all made sense. You were a nobody, Dahl said. That didn't sound like you were in love with the narrative. I didn't say I was, Hester said. But I think you're forgetting that this meant I was the only one of us not absolutely fated to die horribly for the amusement of others. This is a good point, Dahl said. This show we're on, it's crap, Hester said. But it's crap that sometimes works to our advantage. Until it finally kills us, Dahl said. Kills you, Hester reminded him. I might survive, remember? He motioned to Matthew Paulson. And if he lived in our world, he might have been saved too. Dahl was silent at this. Hester looked up at him eventually to see Dahl looking at him curiously. What? I'm thinking, Dahl said. About what? Hester said. About using the narrative to our advantage, Dahl said. Hester squinted. This involves me in some way, doesn't it? He said. Yes, Jasper, Dahl said. Yes, it does.